Amen. Praise God. All right. You are blessed. Now, if you are wondering what we are doing here today, 15 years ago, when this church started, we were just one nationality, one country. And God gave us a prophetic word saying that many will come. He said he will bring the sons and daughters of this ministry from far and near. Of course, I was a young pastor, still a young pastor, and this was my first ever church plant. Never done it before. I just heeded the call of God, which was backed and sanctioned by my pastor, who then released me to get this ministry started. So, but of course, I was nervous. I didn't know how it would come to pass. So what we are celebrating today, we are celebrating the Word of God, the fulfillment of the Word of God. That's what we are celebrating. Two, it is to encourage you that if God has given you any prophetic word, God will bring it to pass. Yeah, God will make it happen. God gave me this word in 2003, right? I have not done anything to make it happen. All I've done is just trust God. I used to get depressed driving into church every Sunday morning because the church was located in an area in Dartford that needed regeneration. And so when you are driving into church in the morning, I can't imagine God telling me, you know, don't worry, my sons will come. This is my church. And I will bring my sons and my daughters. I say, yeah. But what I was seeing on the natural was different from what I was hearing in the spiritual. And so you must understand that, and that's why I want to encourage you this morning, and that's what we are celebrating really, that even though you cannot physically see what God is saying, but be encouraged because it will come to pass. Please help me tell your neighbor, fear not. Worry not. It will surely come to pass. Turn to the one to your right, turn to the one on the other side, say, my brother or my sister, fear not. Worry not. It will come to pass. Praise the Lord. It's interesting now, probably just people look at me today and say, wow, what a man of faith. I wasn't a man of nothing. I was scared. I was petrified. I was frustrated, and I salute all those who have who bore with me over the years, you know, trying to lead the people to a place I didn't know where I was going to. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I just knew that God has a hand in this mission. He asked me to raise the people for himself, and I just, you know, I had no clue but to trust in the word of God. But today, we stand to say we represent 32 or over 30 nationalities. Multiple language. I think we qualify. We have enough to run a French church in this church. We have enough to run a French church. We have enough to run a Ugandan church. We have enough to start churches in about at least 12 nations. We have enough, and we will do. Amen. I'm just waiting for the bodies to mature a little bit. Amen. Then we can then go to all the nations. We have enough to have a church in Guadeloupe. We have enough to have a church in Ghana or to raise a family for God in these nations. We have enough to raise a family for God in South Africa. We have enough. We have enough. And all this is because God said. So be encouraged. Your situation may be lying to you right now. You may not see it, but I'm telling you, if God has given you a word, it will come to pass. Just be patient. Just be patient. Amen. And I thank God that I didn't give up halfway through. I thank God that I waited to see today. I trust. I didn't jump ship. I didn't just leave. I didn't just pack it up and pack it in because of frustration. Yeah, and there are frustration. Yeah, praise the Lord. And so turn with me this morning now, because I want to quickly educate you on something that is very important. The body is the body of Christ. The body is the body of Christ. And I want you to understand how to relate with this body to maximize your experience as a Christian. The body is a living organism. I want to and I want you to take this subject matter very serious. Secondly, there was a message preached by Mr. DJ here on Friday. I need you to go listen to that message and study it. This is not one of those messages where you just listen and where, you know, you are driving. No, I need to actually sit down, get a pen and paper, right, and listen to that message and write down your thoughts and document, study that message. That message gives you a blueprint into how the body of Christ works. Gives you a blueprint into your function, your purpose, the whole spiritual architecture of Christianity and your role as a believer. Right? I've never seen anyone put it so succinctly before. And I want you to go listen to that message. It was preached on Friday by Minister DJ. And for those of you who have a habit of not coming on Friday, you will do well to attend. This is not just a worship center. It's a spiritual development center. Yeah, you can see. It is church on purpose. It is church on purpose. It's a spiritual development center. So don't sit at home 8 p.m. or 7:30 p.m. and be feeding your kids. No, come and feed them, right? I have kids of mine. I've grown them, and we raised them here in the church. Come, let them see the importance. Amen. Now, talk with me to Ephesians 4, verse 2 to 6. The Bible says, from verse 2 to 6, say, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This is the body of Christ. And Paul was admonishing us here that you should make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the body through the bond of peace. He says there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. When you were baptized, you were not baptized into Gateway Chapel. You were not baptized into a local congregation. You were baptized into Christ. One baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is over all and through all and all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Galatians 3, verse 26 says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, all of you, you and I, we are baptized into Christ, have clothed ourselves with Christ. Now, what it is saying is that though we all stand here wearing different attires, representing different nations, that is what we see naturally. That is what we see physically. However, the fact of the matter is I am wearing black. Pastor Bola is wearing purple. And Dami is wearing red. And we all represent different nations. That is what, as a matter of fact. But the Bible says, actually, the truth is, in a spiritual dimension, relating to the body of Christ, we are all one. And we wear one attire, and that attire is called Christ. You see, my brother and my sister, there are two dimensions here. The first dimension is a natural dimension. That's a dimension that looks at what you wear and says, you are from that nation and you are different from me. That's a dimension that looks at you and listens to your accent and say, hey, you sound different from where I come from. Certainly, you cannot be my brother. That's the dimension that looks at you and says, wow, your nose looks different from mine. Certainly, we can't be from one another. That is a natural dimension. That is a factual dimension. But God is saying, listen very carefully, God is saying that when you got born again, you were baptized and you were moved from that. You were instructed and encouraged to not live by what you see and what you hear alone, to move beyond the natural point into a spiritual dimension. And he says, if you pay attention, and in this spiritual dimension, you don't have different attire. You don't come from different nations. You all wear the same. You're all dressed alike. And that attire is called Christ. And you all have the same color. It's not black, it's not white, it's not brown, it's not yellow. In fact, it is red that symbolizes the blood of Jesus. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. He says, so we are all the same. He said, whatever happens, he said, pay respect. You must understand the mechanism of the body of Christ. Many of us don't understand this, and so we struggle. The body of Christ, the Bible says Christ is the head of the church. The body is a living organism. The body has a function. God loves his body. I don't care what your former pastor did to you. I don't care what your former church did to you. It doesn't matter. God loves his body. And you are also seated right now within a body. You must know how the body functions so as to maximize your experience as a believer. Anything outside that, at best, you're just a religious person. The problem with religion is this. It doesn't translate. The problem with religion is that it doesn't guarantee results. That's the problem. The problem with religion is that it is not transferable. It's not. It's not. Praise God. But you see, church, when you look at the word unity, I love what the Bible says there. It says that there is one body, one spirit, just as we are called, one hope. When you were called one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is over all and through all, in all, one. It talks about unity. Unity. Church, when you hear the word unity, it says you are all one. You are all one. Before you get angry at your sister in the body, be very careful. Before you get angry with the body of Christ, be very careful. When I say the body of Christ, I don't mean your former pastor. I mean everyone in the community of believers. Be very careful. Be very careful. Because it's one body. It's one God. It's like my nose getting angry with my ears. It's like my legs getting angry with my hands. It's one body. It's one body. It's like my tongue getting angry with my teeth, and they fight all the time. And they fight over food. And they fight during food. How many times have you bitten your tongue? Why don't you just get angry and just chop it out? You don't do that. How many times have you tripped? Why don't you just get angry and just chop off the leg? Because you understand the function of the body. And so that's what God is saying. That it's one body. You must recognize that if you detach or dishonor that body, right, you yourself as an individual will be incomplete. And that's why so many Christians struggle. They don't understand the framework, the function of the body that is represented by the local church. Do you understand me this morning? And so when we look at the word unity, three functions come out. Three functions stand out. I want to quickly share those with you. The very first one, write down, is community. Right? Come unity. Come unity. Come and unity gives you what? Community. Then you also have immunity. Im and what? Unity. Okay? Then you then have opportunity. Opportunity comes as a function of unity. Immunity comes as a function of unity. I'm talking about spiritual things now. Listen very carefully. Community is very, very powerful. It talks about fellowship, oneness. And the sense of community does not, it transpires beyond church, corporate church. What do we call your family? Community. What do you call your family? You, your dad, your dad and your sibling, you form what? One. What is a family? A family is a what? Community. It's a unity. Community. That's why people who fight their family, they never go far. People who fight, he said, look, Paul said, he said, do everything humanly possible to maintain the unity of the body. That's why the one who fights his or her sibling never goes far. The one who fights his or her sibling, they come to church to pray for 7 days. God doesn't answer such prayers. That's religion. The one who fights his mother and father, they come to church for prayer, come to church to pray for 7 days and say, oh Lord, help me. There is no help. There is no help. Because you are from a family. Do everything possible to maintain the unity of the body. Unless you're an alien and you drop from the sky, then you are alone. Then no problem. The worst, the people that suffer the most are those who are married. That's why I tell young people, hey, my brother, don't marry. Jesus didn't marry. Paul did not marry. Don't let your parents push you to go and get married. Because there are some people, they do 90 miles an hour. They are flying, great destinies. They then go and get married. But they themselves don't know how to maintain unity. So the man that was flying before starts crawling. They say it's a witchcraft. No, it's not witchcraft. You don't understand what it means to maintain a body. You don't have it in you to maintain that body. So you married her. Now you are fighting her. So how far will you go? Come on, say unity. Immunity comes with unity. That's why Jesus said, listen. If you are praying to me, right, and you bring a sacrifice, and you remember somebody has offended you, he said, I don't need the sacrifice. I will rather you maintain the unity and a bond through the bond of peace than offer a sacrifice I will not accept. He said, leave the sacrifice because I'm not after your sheep, your goat, or your money. Go back because I will not deny myself. And you cannot bribe me either. He said, go and reconcile with your brother. Reconcile with your sister. Reconcile with your wife. And then come back and I will accept the offering. I'm here. I'm the same yesterday, today. I'm not forever. I'm not going anywhere. But I will not break the blueprint because of you. So those of you who are keeping malice or you are angry that somebody offended you, are you too much to be offended? He said, yeah, I don't like the way he spoke to me. Are you too much to be spoken to anyhow? Just who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? The basis of you being in this faith was because someone was insulted, trashed, and hung like a dog. Does that make sense? Oh, you must get this. You must get this. If not, your prayers will not be answered. Fact. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, very quickly. Acts 2, and we'll look at from verse 2. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. Right? Bring up my scripture. They were all with one accord. See that? Unity. It says, listen, it says they were all in one accord and in one place. Bring up the scripture. Back one verse, please, quickly. When the day of Pentecost has come, they were all together in one place. In one place with one accord. Unity. They were all together. Like we are all together now. We say we've come to church, but we are all together. Amen. And he says, then and suddenly, because something happens when the body comes together. Their gathering provoked heaven's mandate. Their gathering provoked miracles. The gathering. Church, you must pay attention to the body. You must. Their gathering. Community, immunity, opportunity. And the Bible says, and suddenly from heaven, and as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. It filled the whole house. The whole house means it filled the community. And not just that, it filled the community where they were all sitting. To sit means to fellowship. And you still find people who have more friends, they have more friends and acquaintances who are not believers than believers. They are more influenced by people outside their community than those who are in their community. Big mistake. You need to go and listen to Friday's message so you understand what your function is. We learned something about kingdom transfer. Go listen to it. Go and listen to it. Do you understand? Community. And this is what I really love about it. The Bible says in verse 3, it says, then there appeared to them divided tongue as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Divided tongue. Community brings anointing. And one, so there was a wave. There was a surge. There was something from heaven that blew over the community. And those who were connected to that community, those who sat together and fellowship together, those whose hearts were knitted together in that community, they sat together. He said something rested on them that was powerful enough to terminate, to give them immunity, provide opportunity, and terminate the hand of the enemy over them. Do you understand? Where is your community? Do you have a community? Many don't have. There are so many Christians who don't belong to the community of the body of Christ. They are spiritual strugglers, nomads. They don't belong to a community. A community is an identity. Are you part of a community? If you are not, I am telling you, you are living a one-dimensional lifestyle. You will look at what I'm wearing and you say, oh, he's black and he's African, and he's different from myself. You won't see that he's wearing Christ and we are the same. And so you will miss out on community, and that missing out will remove your immunity, and you will miss out on opportunities. That's what ends each of those words. Unity, 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 unity. Which community do you belong to? Which of them? It says the anointing filled the house. They were sitting down and it rested upon each of them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have you noticed, and let me introduce this community to you. Have you noticed that the families here, the families in this church, they enjoy certain privileges spiritually? They do. They do. There's an unusual anointing upon them. Have you noticed that in this community, that our youths, they go to uni and come back and serve in their church? Have you noticed? Have you noticed? Have you noticed that even the children, you know, a kid came in the first service and saw what I was wearing and told his dad, how? Pastor is wearing the same thing as I'm wearing. He said, yes. He said, can I go see him? I need to go see him. A kid. So even the kids know who their pastor is. Have you noticed? It's the wind that blows in this community. Have you noticed that we really struggle about jobs in this church? Have you noticed? It's the wind that blows in this community. Have you noticed that our kids are not wayward? Have you noticed? It's the wind that blows in this community. You've got to be part of a community. And there are so many people who are church members, right? By name. But they are not part of the community. They have no fellowship in the body. They have no ties to the body. No ties. Who are you tied to in this body? The same way your nose is tied to your face. Who are you tied to in this body? Have you noticed that we don't struggle financially as a church? Have you noticed? Have you noticed that we are addicted givers and it is the basis of our prosperity in this church? Can't you see? Have you noticed? It is the wind that blows in this body. But are you part of this body? Are you part? You know the greatest mistake most people make? They say, well, I just want to I just want to mind my own business. I don't want trouble with anybody. Big mistake. Big mistake. That's exactly what Satan wants. Big mistake. Big mistake. Humongous mistake. That's exactly what the enemy wants. So you can lack immunity, anointing, and an opportunity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Have you noticed how God, the favor that runs in this assembly? I'm telling you as a member of the body too. I'm telling you. I'm not telling you because I'm the pastor. If you don't believe me, ask others. Ask others. Have you noticed that there's no difference between my life, my children, and the life of those around me? Have you noticed? Have you noticed that there's no difference between my life and my children and the life and the children of my leaders? Have you noticed? And before you join a church, ask questions. Ask questions. Have you noticed that my children and the children of and those who serve around me, they are award-winning kids? Have you noticed? It's a wind. And not just them. Do you notice the kids of our workers are award-winning kids? It's a wind that blows in the community. So anyone who says, hey, I don't want trouble, you are the trouble. It means you are ignorant at best. It means you don't understand spiritual things. You don't. You don't. No ties, no participation, no involvement. Is it because I'm minding my business? You miss. Listen, look. I've been a believer for 30 years. Right? This thing has profited me too much. I said profiting in treasure, in money, in wealth, in exposure. I'm telling you. He says, commit yourself unto all these things that your profiting might appear unto all. I have profited. I have dusted my mates. I have outshined everyone. I came in last. I overtook every one of them because of this knowledge. Somebody came to visit us many years ago. I sat with him first time, second time. Complained about the church first time. Complained about the pastor second time. Complained about church member second time. I banished the person from my home. And she came bringing gift. I told Pastor Bola, go and tell that she's your friend. She's not my friend. I don't ever want to see her in our home again. Because this thing is too much. The blessings that come from community is too much. I would rather give her up than give these blessings up. Amen. So quickly, write down, how do you become part of the community? Number one, you register, make up your mind, and register. We are not looking for church members. You understand that. This is for your benefit. You don't have to. But like Paul, Joshua said, as for me and my house, well, we know what we do, but this is what we do. Yeah? You register and make up your mind and register. Number two, become the product of the teachings of your church. Become the product. Many of you are still carrying hurts from, listen, many of you are still carrying hurts from churches that you went to 5-10 years ago. Forget it and let it go. God will not change his blueprint for you. You know how many people die every year from drowning? You still drink water. Let it go. Do you understand? So, become the product of the teachings, of your church. This church is different from next church. If you are in next church and you are hearing my voice and you are listening to this, if it's a tape or whatever you listen to, settle down and become a product of that church. I said a product. He said they heard Peter speak. They say, certainly you have been with Jesus. He said, no. He said, keep quiet. He said, your speech betrays you. So your community and the wind of your community must be reflected in you. Number three, participate and participate like you are the one called. Participate and participate like that you are the one that God called. You want anointing? You want opportunity? You want immunity? Participate and participate like you are the one that God called. Pray for the church. Pray for the members. Pray for your leaders. Contribute. I call it the three T's. Your time, your talent, your treasure. But you don't have to. You see, the church is already moving. Does that make sense? So, but you really want anointing? And then number six. Number six, share your church with others. The messages, share with others. The events, share with others. Contribute like you are the one called. Contribute like you are the one wearing my shoes. Yeah? It heightens your responsibility and it makes heaven pay attention to you. Don't be lazy. Don't be like someone who doesn't have, who is not, don't be a rudderless ship. No control, no accountability, breeze in, breeze out. No. It's a recipe for disaster. And Satan will have you. When God was going to lead them out of Egypt, one of the first things he did, said, take the blood. He said, mark their lintel. It creates an identity. Mark their lintel. So that they know that they are different. You are different. But I need you to recognize it. Because God will not change his blueprint for you. Amen. Rise to your feet as we pray.